Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. This is an open meeting of the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board held on June 21st, 2011. We want to welcome all of you who have joined us in person or are listening on the webcast of the meeting. Today, the board will consider a recommendation to issue a concept release on potential changes to the auditor's reporting model. Before we proceed with the agenda, I want to note for the record that all board members are present and participating. The first and only order of business before the board today is a staff recommendation concerning a concept release on the auditor's reporting model. To present the staff's recommendation on this agenda item, I'm going to turn to our chief auditor's office for the staff presentation, Mr. Malman.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. We indeed have a very important matter for the board to consider today. A concept release exploring ways to make significant improvements to the existing auditor's reporting model. Joining me today to discuss these improvements are Jennifer Rand, Deputy Chief Auditor, and Jessica Watts, Associate Chief Auditor. The auditor's report has not changed in decades, despite numerous recommendations based on well-known studies calling for such change. In my opinion, the time has come to act on those many recommendations and calls for change. The auditor is in a unique position to provide relevant and useful information to investors because of his or her extensive knowledge of the company and because of the auditor's position as an independent third party. The concept release we are asking the board to consider today explores ways to expand the auditor's communication in the auditor's report about the audit or about the financial statements. The concept release, which Jennifer and Jessica will discuss, presents several alternatives for changing the auditor's reporting model and seeks specific input on these or other alternatives commenters may suggest that could provide investors with more transparency into the audit process and more insight into the company's financial statements. Regardless of the alternative we ultimately may choose, the concept release makes a compelling case for the need to change the existing auditor's reporting model. I want to thank Jennifer and Jessica for their extraordinary effort in the development of this concept release. I also express great appreciation to Bob Burns and Nina Majiri Azad in the Office of General Counsel for their outstanding support to this project, and to our colleagues in inspections, enforcement, and research and analysis for their valuable contributions. Finally, I'd like to thank the staff of the Securities and Exchange Commission who provided timely and helpful assistance and advice. I'll now turn it over to Jennifer and Jessica to present our recommendation.
Thank you, Marty. We are pleased to be here this morning to recommend that the board issue a concept release to solicit public comment on potential changes to the auditor's reporting model. We recently met with you on March 22nd to present our findings on the outreach we conducted from October 2010 to March 2011 with investors, preparers, auditors, audit committee members, and others with respect to potential changes to the auditor's reporting model. During our outreach, we learned that there is a considerable desire for change by investors for more information from the auditor about the audit and the company's financial statements. As a result of our outreach, we concluded that changing the auditor's report could hold the key to the relevance of the auditor's reporting model. The standard auditor's report today identifies the financial statements that were audited, describes the nature of the audit, and presents the auditor's opinion on whether the financial statements present fairly in all material respects the financial position, results of operations, and cash flows of the company in conformity with the applicable reporting framework. The standard auditor's report is commonly referred to as a pass-fail model because the auditor opines on whether the financial statements are presented fairly, pass, or not, fail. Investors told us that the pass-fail model and standardized language of the auditor's report provides consistency, comparability, and clarity of reporting. However, many of these investors indicated that the standard auditor's report is too boilerplate, does not convey the significant judgments made by the auditor informing the opinion, and limits the auditor's ability to convey to the investor the subtleties that underlie the auditor's opinion on the company's financial statements. Accordingly, many of these investors supported a reporting format in which a standard auditor's report is retained with certain language in the report clarified, but supplemented with discussion by the auditor about the audit and the company's financial statements. We recognize there are many different views on whether changes should be made to the auditor's report, and if so, what changes should be made. The PCAOB's mission is to oversee the audits of public companies in order to protect the interests of investors and to further the public interest in the preparation of informative, accurate, and independent audit reports. The alternatives presented in the concept release for changing the auditor's report have investors' views in mind. With that, let me now turn the floor over to Jessica, who will describe the alternatives in the concept release for changing the auditor's report, and then I will conclude the discussion of considerations related to changing the auditor's report. Jessica?
Thanks, Jennifer. The concept release presents several alternatives that could provide investors with more transparency into the audit process and more insight into the company's financial statements or other information outside the financial statements. All of the alternatives presented would supplement the pass-fail opinion of the standard auditor's report. These alternatives are not intended to alter in any way the auditor's ultimate responsibility to obtain sufficient appropriate audit evidence to support the audit opinion. Nor are these alternatives intended to qualify or piecemeal the auditor's opinion or to shift the requirement to assess the risk of material misstatement of the financial statements from the auditor to the investor or other users of the financial statements. These alternatives are not mutually exclusive, nor do they include all the views expressed by the outreach participants. A revised auditor's report could include one or a combination of these alternatives, elements of the alternatives, or other alternatives not currently presented. These alternatives would likely require the development of additional auditing standards through collaboration with the SEC. The first alternative is to include a supplemental narrative report to the auditor's report, referred to as an auditor's discussion and analysis, or an ADNA, that could provide the auditor with the ability to discuss his or her views regarding significant matters. An ADNA could provide the auditor with an adaptable report that could be tailored to the company's specific risks, facts, and circumstances. The ADNA could include information about the audit, such as the significant risks identified in the audit, audit procedures and results, and auditor independence. It also could include a discussion of the auditor's views regarding the company's financial statements, such as management's judgments and estimates, accounting policies and practices, and difficult or contentious issues, including those referred to as close calls. Additionally, an auditor could describe in an ADNA those matters that might be in technical compliance with the applicable financial reporting framework, but in the auditor's view, the financial statement disclosures of such matters could be enhanced to provide the investor with an improved understanding of these matters and their impact on the financial statements. An ADNA could provide further context to an investor's understanding of a company's financial statements and management's related discussions and analysis, and provide the auditor with the ability to communicate the auditor's significant judgments in forming an audit opinion. An ADNA is not intended to provide separate assurance on individual balances, disclosures, transactions, or other matters. Rather, an ADNA is intended to facilitate an understanding of the auditor's opinion on the financial statements taken as a whole. An ADNA would likely be the most expansive form of reporting among the alternatives presented and can require the auditor to communicate some of the same information communicated to the audit committee. Two possible challenges to this type of reporting include ensuring consistency where appropriate among clients of a firm, and preventing the discussions in an ADNA from becoming boilerplate. The concept release seeks comments on what types of information would be most relevant and useful to include in an ADNA, and how boilerplate language could be mitigated while providing consistency among such reports. Another alternative to enhance the auditor's report is to mandate the use of emphasis paragraphs in all audit reports. Emphasis paragraphs are not currently required under PCAOB standards, but may be added slowly at the discretion of the auditor to emphasize a matter regarding the financial statements. Required emphasis paragraphs could be used to highlight the most significant matters in the financial statements and to identify where those matters are disclosed. Also, to emphasize areas of critical importance to the financial statements, including significant management judgments and estimates, areas with significant measurement uncertainty, and other areas that the auditor determines are important for a better understanding of the financial statement presentation. The auditor could also discuss key audit procedures performed pertaining to the matters emphasized in the auditor's report. By the auditor focusing on certain matters of the financial statements, the quality of management's disclosures could improve due to the specific reference in the auditor's report. The concept release requests comments on what matters should be included in required emphasis paragraphs and the appropriate level of detail that should be included regarding such matters. Another alternative to enhance the auditor's reporting model is to require auditors to provide assurance on information outside of the financial statements, such as MD&A, portions of MD&A, or other information, for example, non-GAAP information or earnings releases. An auditor providing assurance on information outside of the financial statements could improve the quality, completeness, and reliability of such information, providing users of the financial statements with a higher level of confidence on information provided by management about the company. Many investors comment on the importance to their investing decisions of the information outside of the financial statements and how this information is relied upon in making those investment decisions. This alternative would increase the scope of current auditor responsibilities, require the development of new auditing standards, and require coordination with the SEC. The concept release requests specific comments on what additional information the auditor should provide assurance to investors. For example, MD&A, portions of MD&A, earnings releases, or non-GAAP information. Another potential enhancement to the auditor's report could be to clarify certain language in the existing standard auditor's report. While this alternative would not require additional auditor reporting or significantly expand the content of the auditor's report, it could provide clarification about what an audit represents and the auditor's responsibilities. Possible areas that could be clarified in the auditor's report include the meaning of reasonable assurance, the auditor's responsibilities for fraud, the auditor's responsibility for disclosures included in the financial statements, management's responsibilities for the preparation of the financial statements, the auditor's responsibility for information outside of the financial statements, and the auditor's independence. The concept release seeks comments on whether these potential clarification or others would enhance the auditor's report and help financial statement users understand the audit and the auditor's responsibilities. Let me now turn it back over to Jennifer, who will discuss certain considerations related to providing additional information.
Thanks, Jessica. During our outreach, various participants suggested that there may be practical challenges and unintended consequences that would result from additional auditor reporting, such as the types that Jessica described. Five such areas are highlighted in the concept release and include the effects on audit effort, the effects on auditors' relationships, the effects on audit committee governance, liability considerations, and confidentiality. The concept release includes questions related to these and other issues that might result in challenges and unintended consequences in changing the auditor's reporting model. We are interested in public comments on all aspects of the concept release. Jessica just described the alternatives in the concept release for the ways the auditor's report could be changed. We are interested in feedback and whether a revised auditor's report should include one or a combination of those alternatives, elements within the alternatives, or other alternatives not currently presented in the concept release. For more than half a century, many groups have considered and recommended changes to the standard auditor's report to enhance the auditor's overall communication to financial statement users. However, few changes have resulted from those recommendations. Members of our investor advisory group, our standing advisory group, have similarly requested change. Our goal through this concept release is to develop meaningful changes to the auditor's report to keep the auditor's report relevant. We therefore recommend that the board issue the concept release for public comment with a comment period deadline of September 30th, 2011. Prior to the comment period deadline, a public roundtable will be held in the third quarter of 2011 to discuss the alternatives in the concept release or other alternatives. This concludes our remarks on the concept release on possible changes to the auditor's report. We would now be happy to answer any questions you might have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bauman, Ms. Rand, Ms. Watts. Are there any motions on this matter?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion. I move that the board instruct the staff to issue the concept release, as they've just recommended, and that we invite comment on the issues raised in the release until September 30th, 2011.
Second.
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Gelser, Mr. Harris. Thank you for that presentation. I want to acknowledge all the staff who helped bring this project into fruition, including, in particular, Marty Bauman, Jennifer Rand, Jessica Watts, the Chief Auditor's Office, Bob Burns, Nina Majeri-Azad from the General Counsel's Office. The proposed concept release on the auditor's reporting model before the board today is an important step to enhance the relevance of audits to the investing public. The recent financial crisis has prompted serious concerns about the role and value of audits. While auditors most certainly did not cause the financial crisis, some people have legitimately questioned whether audits adequately served investors' needs in the months and years before and during the crisis. For decades, the auditor's report has identified the financial statements that were audited, described the general nature of the audit, presented the auditor's opinion as to whether, taken in their entirety, the statements present the company's financial results and position fairly in all material respects. Given the effort involved in an audit of a large company and the complexity of many financial statements, investors want deeper insight from the auditor. This concept release explores several ways that audit reports could better serve investors. The alternatives the release describes are not mutually exclusive, as has been said. A revised auditor's report could include one or a combination of the alternatives, elements of the alternatives. Commentators may also suggest other alternatives to consider. I want to commend the staff for bringing these alternatives forward. The results of months of engagement with investors and others to identify concrete ways in which audit reports can be improved. The outreach was critical, since unlike most other standard-setting projects, this project required us to understand user needs before we could develop the means of meeting those needs. And in this regard, we've, I think, come a long way. In the early stage of the project, we faced generalized investor dissatisfaction, as you've heard, with the pass-fail model, generalized frustration with auditors who issued unqualified opinions on the financial statements of the banks that later failed. This dissatisfaction was not new. It's been studied by various groups over many decades. The project thus began as an inquiry into the phenomenon called the expectation gap. Depending on where one sat, this meant either that investors expect too much from the audits or that auditors do too little. The concept release, however, carries the discussion well beyond any expectation gap. It's not about deciding that investors should expect less than absolute assurance or auditors should do more to obtain reasonable assurance. The project is about what investors want from audit reports in the future and how audit reports can be more useful to society. It's about how audits can provide investors more insightful assessments of management stewardship. The alternatives described in the release are thus focused on enhancing relevance of the auditor's communication to investors. They would not change the fundamental role of the auditor to perform an audit and attest to management assertions as embodied in management's financial statements. They're not intended to put the auditor in the position of reporting financial information for management. That said, together with several other initiatives the board will consider in the coming weeks, they are intended to spur debate on how to change auditing from a culture that emphasizes client service to a culture that emphasizes public service. Our oversight should foster conduct consistent with the franchise our federal securities laws accord the audit profession. I'm mindful that culture does not change quickly. It would be naive to think that merely changing the auditor's report would trigger the culture change we need. This is why I've advocated a holistic approach aimed at enhancing the credibility and the transparency of audits as well as their relevance. Before I turn to my fellow board members for discussion, let me say a word about costs. Depending on the nature and extent of additional information to be communicated in the auditor's report, new auditing requirements might be necessary or appropriate. Further, some alternatives might increase the scope of audit procedures to extend disclosures beyond the financial statements. These possibilities may prompt some commenters to point out that increasing scope will likely increase audit fees. To be sure, increasing procedures or scope involves cost, but so does investor doubt about the reliability of management statements. I will be interested in feedback on all of these kinds of costs, and I now want to turn to my fellow board members for their discussion. Mr. Gelsen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Let me begin the same way I did at the March 22nd meeting, which is to underscore the importance of this project and the far-reaching impact it could have on auditing. Investors have been emphatic that they want more from auditors, more than the traditional pass-fail report. In particular, the perception that investors should have been alerted to the risks that ultimately triggered the financial crisis have reignited the long-smoldering dissatisfaction with the current audit opinion. In response, the board has been looking for more than a year now at how it can increase the relevance of the information that auditors communicate to financial statement users. That effort has included discussions with both the board's standing advisory group and the investor advisory group, a series of focus group sessions with investors, preparers, and auditors, and a public board staff dialogue in March. The concept release rests on what we've heard and learned. Nonetheless, I think some difficult issues will still need to be resolved. One threshold question is whether auditors should move beyond their traditional role of attesting to information that management prepares. Under some of the ideas floated in the concept release, auditors would be required to provide commentary on such matters as management's judgments and estimates, and its selection of accounting policies and practices. The auditor might also be asked to characterize particular auditing judgments on which the decision to issue a clean opinion is based as close calls or contentious. I hope that those who comment on the release will focus on whether or not the auditor should play that sort of role. These kinds of disclosures would certainly provide some added insight into the company's financial reporting. At the same time, I think there's a risk of confusing investors rather than enlightening them if management and the auditor present competing views of the financial statements. Also, close call or contentious issue disclosure might have the unintended effect of transforming disagreements that previously would have precluded the auditor from issuing a clean opinion into merely matters of disclosure in the auditor's discussion and analysis. In any event, the benefits and risks of this new kind of auditor reporting will, I think, have to be carefully weighed. However, even without requiring auditor commentary, there's certainly still plenty of room to expand the scope and relevance of the auditor's work. For example, as we've heard, auditors could provide more detailed information about the audit, the auditor's view of the audit risks and how the auditor addressed those risks might give users fresh insight into the issues surrounding the company's financial reporting. Auditors could also make greater use of emphasis paragraphs in their opinions. Emphasis paragraphs keyed to management disclosures would be a way for the auditor to indicate the matters that, in the auditor's view, are the most significant to understanding the company's financial reporting. And auditors could also be asked to opine on information outside the financial statements. An auditor opinion on the accuracy and completeness of MD&A would be a way of providing investors with more assurance about management statements and providing management with more incentive to fully comply with the MD&A requirements. This idea could also be extended to other areas of information, such as earnings releases or possibly an expanded audit committee report. Finally, I want to emphasize that deciding how the reporting model should change is just the first stage of this project. Turning any of the ideas into the concept release into a workable auditor's report would also require the board to write new auditing standards. Without an infrastructure of auditing standards, comparability between reports would be impossible. In addition, there'd be no yardstick to evaluate the adequacy of the auditor's work if it's questioned, either in a board inspection or enforcement proceeding or in private litigation. The board has experience, of course, in fashioning auditing standards to govern a new type of audit report. I'm sure we could and would formulate effective standards for things like MD&A opinions or auditor discussion and analysis. The standard-setting challenges in some of these areas could, however, prove to be formidable and time-consuming. Before I turn to questions, I also want to recognize the staff work that's gone into the concept release. Associate Chief Auditor Jessica Watts has been the able and tireless principal draftsperson of the release. The project, of course, is in the Office of the Chief Auditor and is led by Marty Bauman. Jennifer Rand has also made significant contributions to the project, as have Bob Burns and Nina Mojari-Assad in the General Counsel's office. I also want to note that the SEC's Office of the Chief Accountant has provided valuable insight and suggestions here, as is always the case in our work. Let me ask you about a couple things that have been touched on already. There's a statement in the release that the focus of what we're doing is on improving the content of the auditor's report rather than on changing the fundamental role of the auditor. And I think both the chairman and staff in their presentation commented on the fact that we're not trying to change fundamentally what auditors do. What exactly does that mean? And I appreciate that auditors would still be asked to render an opinion, attest to the accuracy of the financial statements, as they always have. But it seems to me that at least some of the ideas in the concept release, the ones that would have the auditor expressing their own views on particular questions, would represent a significant change in what auditors do.
Let me take a shot at replying to that. I think the key to this that point is that with respect to the audit of the financial statements upon which the auditor has to reach a conclusion as to whether or not they present fairly or not, we don't think any of the alternatives discussed here change the auditor's role under existing PCAOB standards to reach that point where the auditor has planned the audit, performed the audit, evaluated audit evidence, had engaged in quality review, etc. I think in terms of the performance of the audit to reach a conclusion on the fairness of the financial statements, that fundamental role has not changed. What we're really dealing with here in most of these alternatives is how the auditor reports to the investors the results of the audit. That is, rather than just a pass-fail opinion, other information that the auditor could communicate to the investing public. Now, that may change what the auditor has to gather as part of performing that audit of the financial statements. The auditor may have to gather additional information to be reported, but we think that information is already being generated as part of the audit of the financial statements. Certainly the option to provide some sort of assurance on, for instance, management's discussion and analysis would expand the auditor's fundamental role, but would still not change their fundamental role with respect to the audit of the financial statements. So yes, there's a lot of change that would take place in terms of how the auditor ultimately reports, but with respect to the examination of evidence to support the auditor's underlying opinion on the financial statements, we think that fundamental role should not change under the alternatives presented.
Well, that's helpful, and I certainly agree with you. I guess I would just again emphasize the point that it seems to me that some of the alternatives being discussed, or I guess the auditor's discussion and analysis alternative specifically, would have a very new element in it of the auditor not just gathering evidence to support something that management is asserting, but to come up with a sort of a qualitative view, judgmental view of the auditor's own on particular issues and presenting that. But I'll, be interested to hear what the comments have to say on that subject.
Right. Many of these points you just made, of course, the auditor today has to communicate with the audit committee, and many of the types of things that we've talked about here are part of the audit committee communication standard. But I think many of them also would expand that as well. So we certainly would require probably new standards in terms of reporting.
But let me just ask a couple things about some of the alternatives. I mean, one thing we've all talked about is this idea of emphasis paragraphs. I know we're just at the concept release stage, but do you have any more thoughts about how that would work in practice? Is it a given that there's something to emphasize about every public company out there? There are a lot of publicly traded shells. I think that's one of the things we've learned about in our work. I'm not sure what you'd emphasize with respect to their financial statements. And at the other end of the spectrum, I kind of think about the way people write a risk factor disclosure. Maybe you'd have auditors that would decide there are 20 or 30 things that ought to be emphasized in their opinion, and I'm not sure how helpful that would actually be to anybody.
Well, I think your point is well taken. At both ends of the spectrum, there's some risk in that, or at least we have questions to ask in the respondents to deal with whether or not there needs to be an emphasis paragraph in every situation, such as you described, a shell company with very little assets and very little capital and no activities. On the other end of the spectrum, potential risk that virtually everything in the footnotes could be emphasized, detracting from the importance. We are asking for comment on those types of situations and that risk. But when you think of in the middle of that spectrum, certainly there's plenty of room for the auditor to emphasize various aspects of the financial statements. I think of the financial crisis, for example, and wouldn't it have been helpful in advance of the financial crisis if the auditor emphasized in take a look at the footnote with respect to off-balance sheet activities and off-balance sheet risks. There could be significant exposures to the company under certain circumstances in connection with those off-balance sheet exposures. Or let's say with respect to the allowance for loan losses, the auditor could have pointed to that, and in their commentary on their audit could have talked about challenges with respect to the allowance for loan losses, as the company may have many new products, such as mortgages based solely on the collateral with no evaluation of the creditworthiness of the borrower, mortgages that had negative amortization, so on and so forth. So there could have been a lot of benefit to investors to have a good understanding of certain aspects of the financial statements, as well as what the auditor did. From a perspective of how we might base this, or is it enforceable? One way to think about it is we could require the auditor to emphasize those elements of the financial statements that are related to significant risks that the auditor is required to identify as part of planning and executing the audit. So therefore, if some of the significant risks pertain to the financial statement elements, the requirement could be to emphasize those financial statement elements that represented significant risks. So we're asking for comment with respect to the application of this emphasis situation, but we see potential great benefit to it.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. Let me turn then to the auditor's discussion and analysis idea. Now, one of the things that the release suggests, and I think it's been mentioned here already, is that the auditor would disclose or talk about close calls that had to be made as part of the audit process, or the decision to issue the opinion, or contentious issues that the auditor would identify, I guess, between itself and management. I wonder if you can give some more color around that. I mean, what would be an example of a close call that might want to you might expect to see the auditor disclose? And I guess beyond that, why would anyone ever want to disclose a close call? I mean, I guess by definition, what you're saying is it was a close call, but we resolved it in management's favor, because if you didn't, there'd be no audit opinion, and that would be a much different matter. So I'm not sure what the risks or considerations might be that would go into that, or whether your lawyer would let you say there were any close calls as part of the audit.
Right. Well, we're certainly just exploring that concept as part of the concept release. That was certainly something that investors indicated that they'd like to know more about. They believe there are many close calls in financial statement audits where auditors and management debate issues significantly, and auditors go to their national office for consultation on these complex matters and struggle to the very end to what the right answer would be. So I think we need to define that ultimately as to what needs to be reported. I will add, though, already under existing auditing standards, for instance, by AS3 on documentation, auditors are required to document significant findings as part of their audit, and that documentation should include more challenging issues that they addressed and how they concluded on them. Close calls could be included among that. With respect to AS7 on engagement quality review, auditors are required to ensure the engagement quality reviewer reviews the contentious or difficult consultations that took place as part of the audit. With respect to those difficult or contentious consultations, presumably there's something akin to close calls in there. Audit committee communications, another standard of ours, requires communication to the audit committee about various aspects of the audit, about the company's accounting policies, where alternative accounting policies may have been acceptable, particularly sensitive audit accounting estimates. So there's a number of places already where there's required documentation of matters that sound a lot like close calls. But having said that, this would need to be developed further, and we're looking for comment as part of the concept release.
Well, I certainly think it's a good point that we would have to tie it to something in the existing standards or create new standards so that there'd be some signposts as to what was, for example, a close call. I mean, just along those lines, let me ask you about the concern I raised in my statement and whether you think it has any merit or not. I'm a little uneasy that if we create this disclosure requirement, will it create a kind of safety valve where things today that the auditor and the company, they have to come to agreement on them, or there won't be an audit opinion. Today, the management's response will just be, oh, put it in your ADNA as a close call, but let us do the accounting the way we want to do it, and the quality of what an audit means would decline as a result.
Well, we don't expect that to be the case. We don't expect the auditor to punt on matters where he has a material disagreement with respect to the presentation in the financial statements or the disclosure of a matter and put it in the auditor's discussion and analysis. We'd expect under our standards that the auditor has to reach a conclusion on the fairness of the financial statements. We do think, though, that the ADNA would potentially give additional leverage to the auditor in those situations where the matter may not be a material disagreement and go to the level of the auditor withdrawing, not issuing their opinion, but indicating that while your presentation is acceptable under GAAP, I think there was a better presentation, and I'll point that out in the auditor's discussion and analysis, that may lead the issuer to conclude, I think you've now convinced me that that's probably a better presentation, and I'll put it in the financial statements. So we don't expect the auditor to reduce or walk away from their responsibilities to call things as they are and reach an opinion on the financial statements and relegate important material matters to the ADNA, but the ADNA could supplement the financial statements and give the auditor some leverage to discuss those other critical matters.
Well, if we go down that road, I hope you're right. I just was trying to suggest that perhaps it's an open question as to whose leverage would increase and whose
I think it's
whose
an important
decrease.
Question that we expect and we look for comment in the concept of this.
The last alternative I wanted to ask you about was the concept of expanding the information that the auditors associated with. There is an existing attestation standard, AT701, that would provide a basis for an auditor to express an opinion or be retained to express an opinion on MD&A. Are you aware of that ever happening?
Yes. It has happened in terms of a public filing with the SEC, but I would say that's certainly rare, to say the least. I'm also aware, though, that It has also happened with respect to the board of directors asking auditors to report to them with respect to the fairness or the presentation of the MD&A, and auditors use the attestation standard for that purposes, but that report was limited to just the board. So I think that's been done, but I agree with your point. It has been rare to date. Our meetings with investors indicated that MD&A is a very, very important part of their understanding of the company and the issues in the company. Today, too often, MD&A is referred to as elevator analysis, what went up and what went down, with little discussion of the underlying economics of what went up and what went down and why. And I think that if we believe that financial statements are better because auditors audit them, investors believe there's a good chance that the quality of MD&A could be better, closer to the spirit of what's intended in the SEC rules, if auditors were associated with that. So we think that's one of the important alternatives investors discussed with us and we present in this release.
I mean, just along those lines, my understanding is, and you noted in the release, that the SEC solicited comment on the possibility of auditor association with MD&A in 2002, but obviously concluded not to do it, or at least didn't conclude to do it, since we don't have such a requirement. Do you know what they learned in their comment process and why they didn't decide to go ahead with it?
I don't think we know what was learned in that comment process. I don't think that was made public. There were a number of things in that document, including enhancing MD&A, as well as potential auditor reporting on it. I think that was in the time frame of Sarbanes-Oxley Act, and I think the SEC had other important matters to move on to. Is that your understanding as well, Jennifer?
Yes. Jessica? Yes.
So we don't have any.
We don't.
Don't know what the comment letters were.
Just finally in this area, there's a statement in the release that, it says, to provide a basis for auditor assurance on information outside the financial statements, a reporting framework would likely need to be developed in consultation with the SEC. What exactly does that mean? It seems like MD&A is an area where there is an existing requirement, and the SEC has spilled a lot of ink giving guidance on what should be an MD&A. What other kind of framework would have to be developed?
Well, I think with respect to MD&A, I agree with you, there is a reporting framework, and the SEC has given substantial guidance as to what should be an MD&A. I think in our consultations with the SEC, if auditors were reporting on MD&A, we might talk further about whether that needs to be expanded in any way in terms of what the guidance is. Certainly with respect to the other elements that we talked about, earnings releases or non-GAAP information or other information in the document, I think there would need to be some sort of a framework that would need to be developed by the SEC for purposes of the auditors reporting on that.
Just two final things. Thinking back to our 404 experience, one of the things, one of the many things, I guess, that we got some criticism on was the fact that the financial statement auditor had to be the ICFR auditor, and that's a statutory requirement, so we didn't have any choice about that. Some of the things that we're raising here, association with MD&A, for example, maybe even the CDNA, could perhaps conceivably be done by another firm if a company wanted to do that. Do you see that as a possibility?
Yes. We haven't taken a position in this that the additional reporting outside of the financial statements would have to be performed by the auditor of the financial statements. Having said that, however, were we to permit another auditor to perform the attestation or the audit of the MD&A, I believe our expectation would be that that other auditor would have to have an understanding of the company, the company's business risks, and an understanding of the financial statements commensurate with the auditor of the financial statements in order to carry out that engagement. So while it's possible, I think from a practical perspective, it would be very challenging for that to occur.
Yeah, it always seemed to me like it would be a very costly alternative for a company to pursue, but we did get that as a, right, as a comment, as a criticism. And just last thing, because I assume people are now sitting by their phones, getting ready to call you to say they want to be at the roundtable or you know, typing your address into their BlackBerry. Can you give any guidance about how the roundtable is going to be organized? When more details will be coming out about that?
Since Jennifer talked about the roundtable in her comments, so why don't I turn that over to you, Jennifer?
Oh, okay. Well, yes, call Marty. No, I'm just kidding. We will be getting together with the board to work on the details of the roundtable and how that process may work. So at the time of this meeting, we don't have any further specifics, but we do plan to announce that at some point in the future when we have more details. But we think it's important to have the roundtable, wanted to let the public know that we are planning for that in the third quarter.
One of the things I might add to that is when we had outreach, our outreach was, we met with investors, we met with audit committee members, we met with preparers, we met with auditors, all pretty separately as part of the outreach. I think the roundtable would enable all of those parties to be at the table together in terms of discussing these various concepts with the board and with us. So I think we see a lot of benefits to this roundtable, but I think its ultimate format will work together with the board to construct.
Don't call us, we'll call you, I think. Thank you very much.